Today, I want to talk to all of you about something very important. Please listen to me. Almighty God has raised up Jesus, who was crucified, and he is our Lord and Messiah. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is made to you and to your children, as there is no other name by whom you are to be saved. Now, imagine just for a moment that you heard those words 2,000 years ago in that tone of voice. How excited would you have been if you had heard it preached to you that way? Would you have listened? Would you have walked away? Did you even listen to me when I said it just a moment ago? Scripture does not tell us that Peter delivered words in that fashion. In fact, we know that in today's reading and throughout other readings that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and elsewhere he spoke with a rather raised voice. So let's try it again in what I imagine was Peter's tone of voice when he said these types of words. My brothers and sisters, today I want to talk to all of you about something that is incredibly important. Please listen to me. Almighty God has raised up Jesus, who was crucified, and he is our Lord and Messiah. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is made to you and to all of your children, as there is no other name by whom you are to be saved. I kind of believe that Peter may have had the energy to do it in quite that fashion. We know in the Acts of the Apostles, as we have read throughout this course of in Eastertide, and especially this past few weeks, that Peter cured the sick, and sometimes it was just the shadow that he cast over them that cured them. We also know that Peter raised people from the dead, so he had some authority. But notice the difference. Some of the people to whom Peter was preaching to knew his voice and knew that he had been designated as the leader of the church. Others perhaps were hearing him for the first time. He spoke with authority because he was a man who had been changed by all of his encounters with Jesus. Peter, uniquely chosen by Christ, was the first of the appointed shepherds for our church, our first pope, the rock upon whom his church was built. He wasn't chosen because he was perfect. In fact, he was far from it. Peter, who had denied the Lord three times out of fear, now spoke boldly with no fear whatsoever. And we know that the people accepted his words as he testified before them, and many thousands were baptized by him. Yet I wonder how many of us, if we heard Peter speak today, if he preached to us, would we respond to his words? Throughout all of our Catholic history, we have heard similar voices, or have we? This past Friday, our Catholic men's group here at St. John Newman called That Man Is You wrapped up its 9th year of teaching, and we were reminded about the voices of St. Peter, St. Paul, St. Thomas More, St. Maximilian Kolbe, and others who spoke courageously by their words and their actions throughout history with strong and convincing and convicting voices about the message of Jesus Christ. There are many others, women and men, saints and non-saints, who have spoken just as clearly about their faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps these have even been members of your own family or friends. Have we listened to their voices? Today, do we listen to the voices of our bishops and priests with open minds and open hearts? Today, my brothers and sisters, is Good Shepherd Sunday. And we all know that Christ is our Good Shepherd, and that Scripture, both old and new, uses this image of Jesus as our Good Shepherd. And perhaps the most well-known psalm to all of us, Psalm 23, clearly tells us that the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. So you say, why a shepherd, and why does he use this image of sheep? Being sheep is not a very flattering image at all. Nah. Yet the early followers of our Lord, who knew their Jewish scriptures, knew very well what this analogy to sheep meant to them. They knew that sheep were able to identify their shepherd's voice and were able to follow them. They knew that they were people who wandered about aimlessly, sometimes drifting from God, and they were constantly in need of being brought back into the fold. So that is what we are. We are Jesus's sheep. We are in constant need of being called back to the fold as we depart from the ways of Jesus, perhaps even on a daily basis. In John's gospel, we know that Jesus refers to himself oftentimes as the gate, and that whoever passes through the gate will be saved. Today, Jesus emphatically points out that the sheep, you and I, are able to recognize his voice, and that it is through the recognition of his voice that we are saved and have life in abundance, and that we one day too will pass through that gate and go to heaven. Today, Jesus still calls out to each and every one of us. Elsewhere in Scripture, it is noted that Jesus knows each of us by name. He has uniquely called each of us to be his disciples and to follow him, just as he did the early disciples. Now, to me, that reveals something extremely special about our God. He has taken it upon himself to know each of us by name, so that we are so very dear and special to him that he calls each of us individually to come and follow him. So do we recognize our shepherd's voice as he calls us? And do we answer his call? Peter, our first totally human shepherd, tries to tell us that that is exactly what our responsibility is. Echoing the words of John the Baptist, Peter reminds us to be baptized and repent of our sins. We must change and become people of action. We become his true disciples when we act upon Jesus' words and begin to share that good news with others. And we too are called to shepherd others in the faith and to journey with them toward their ultimate goal of heaven. See, we can and we must respond to his call individually and collectively as an integral part of this Catholic community. All of us are beneficiaries of those who came before us, who have taught us the faith we live. Parts of my own family were Irish Catholic immigrants who came to this country with a strong faith. They were the beneficiaries of other early disciples who journeyed to Ireland and educated them as to who Jesus was. Fortunately, the folks who were before us, who are responsible for you and I being here today, were not simply pew sitters. The witness of their lives is why we are here. They listened to the voices of them who showed them the way to Jesus, and thus we too follow him. And we are not just pew sitters ourselves. Sadly, even in most of our churches, but not here at St. John Newman, the 80-20 rule still applies. See, 20% of the people get involved and are actively ambassadors for their faith, while 80% sit back and wait for others to do things for them. 20% will truly give of their time and their talent and their treasure, while 80% give virtually nothing of their time, talent, or treasure. 20% will recognize that they need to continue to educate themselves in the teachings and the practices of our faith. And 80% probably believe that it is okay to just come to church for 1 hour on Sunday, and that's more than enough. My friends, there are 167 other hours in the week besides the 1 hour that we come and are here. Our faith is meant to be lived 24/7, not just for 1 hour a week. The joy of every Easter season is hearing how and seeing how the early church grew. We see remarkable transformations in the lives of the apostles and early disciples, as well as many others who began to live the truth and share the message of Jesus. Not all of us can be like St. Peter or St. Paul. None of us are called to witness our faith in such a bold way and to suffer martyrdom as they did. But some are called to teach. Some are called to serve. But we are all called to do something. St. Francis of Assisi reminds us that we are to preach the gospel, and sometimes we're even to use our words. It may be that you are called to support an individual or a company doing something that is consistent with our Christian faith. But we can all do something. We can all share our words. We can all be people of action. On Friday, I went across the street from my office to pick up some lunch. And typically when I greet someone who's serving me, they'll ask me, "How are you doing today?" And my usual response is with a smile, "Not bad for a Monday." And it usually gets a chuckle. And this particular young lady who was behind the counter, she looked up and she said, wait. "It's not Monday, it's Friday." I said, "Yes, it is." I said, "But for you, the weekends must be like a Monday every single day." And then the gentleman behind me, I asked him how he was doing. And I greeted him with a good day. And he responded to my inquiry, "This is the best day of my life." And it led to a quick discussion between the two of us about the fact that each day that we are given is a gift from God and that we are not promised tomorrow. And he said, "As long as the Lord gives me my daily bread, I am just fine." So how are we going to follow his voice? How are we going to follow our shepherd today? Are we going to listen to his voice speaking to us through his apostles and his current disciples? Or are we going to follow the voices of others who draw us away from the message of Jesus? Hopefully, we will continue to focus upon what are others' needs rather than our own needs, our own wants, or about how we want God to do things in our lives. And we can focus on how we can be his instruments for other people. Do we take the gifts that he gives us for granted? You and I, again, are called to listen to that voice, just as I listened to that man in the restaurant the other day, who I believe was sent to me to remind me that indeed each day is truly the best day of your life. Will we continue to open our ears so that we recognize those voices? If we want to make sure that God will continue to recognize us and know each of us by our name, let us make sure that we truly do listen to him more closely and act upon what he's telling us to do. Amen.